four to use. When I was recording, I got tracks for myself so I could hear myself playing viola and have guitar and whatever. So that was fun. And I have to tell you, it was so exciting to, I'm thinking of my mom, but then I'm thinking of all of you and all that you've done for me over the years and all the ways you've saved me today and last year and the year before that. So that was really thrilling to sing that. So we're going to move into the talk. Is this on? Am I on? Is it good? So we're actually going to start with a little exercise. So if you'll all just put your hands in this position, prayer position, or namaskarasana. Namaskar is actually the formal way of saying namaste. It's not used as much, but it's actually for if you have a revered person you're with, quite respectful. So from here, I want you to just open your fingers. So leave your thumbs and your little fingers together. So this is called Padma Mudra. It's the lotus flower. So just close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to call your mother to mind. All the mothers in your life, so your mother, your actual mother, whether you're in touch with her, whether she's here on this earth or not, just being so grateful for the life she gave you. Your grandmothers, your great-grandmothers, your sisters, your friends who have nurtured you, anyone who has mothered you, just call those people to mind and take a moment to offer your gratitude, opening up your heart just like the lotus blossom. Just breathe that in, that wonderful feeling of gratitude for all of the sustenance and nourishment you've gotten over the years. And then bring your fingers back together. Just hold that in your heart for a second. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. So who's here with their mom? Some people brought their moms, that's great. Who is a mom? Who mothers other people? Like everybody.
I'm almost a mom.
Almost a mom? When? You're still a mom right now, because that little thing's right in there. I actually got preferential boarding when I was pregnant with twins. I would go to the front of the line and say, I have a family. They let me on. It was great. Oh, yay. And my little daughters that I was talking about, they're twins too. That's great. Welcome. So today, you know, I was thinking about mothers and all that they offer us. So, you know, there's nourishment, sustenance, compassion, mercy, this whole idea of life and birthing and rebirthing and creation. The feminine image, you know, the feminine mystique, whatever you want to call it, the person of the woman is so powerful and gives us so much. So we're going to talk about some of those things today. And I really think a lot about the mother figure being, you know, a lot about creation and about transformation, which has already been mentioned today multiple times. And in my own life, I've been through quite a lot of transformations, as we all are. You know, we come up with something, and then we need to let that thing go and move on to the next thing and let that thing go. So these are constant birthings and rebirthings that are happening. And right now, I'm in the process, over the last couple of years or so, I've been in the process of really trying to think about the work that I do. And I do a lot of different things. Some of you know, I do church services, and I do some speaking. And I do concerts, and I do workshops, and I am certified yoga teacher, although I don't teach yoga all the time, but I have a couple of private students and do workshops related to yoga. So it's a lot of different things that I do, and sometimes I end up feeling very scattered. So I've been trying to think of a way to bring all that together. It's not that I really want to necessarily stop doing those things, but I do want to have a more central focus. So I've been really thinking about that and working towards that. And I was trying to come up with some kind of something that I could call a business that would encompass everything that I do with this focus of wanting to focus on healing and helping people to find grace and beauty and joy in every day, which is really what I'm about. So I actually saw this, it was a webinar that I did with this woman named Christine Kane, who used to be a singer-songwriter and now calls herself a mentor to soulful entrepreneurs. And she's quite successful, doesn't do songwriting anymore, but she I watched this webinar, which was very good, and she talks about there being two tracks to any business, the soul track and the strategy track. And she said most of the time people are focused on the strategy track, but often the reason a business fails is because there's something off in the soul track, which has to do with managing your energy and ideas around prosperity, et cetera. So it was really cool to find this person who has a lot of very concrete strategy for business owners, but is also very tuned into the soul side of things. So I watched this webinar, and it was interesting, and I could relate to a lot of it. I could see how I had work to do in some of those areas, but I also didn't quite see how that was going to suddenly make my business grow. But the next morning, I woke up, and voila, there was the name for my business, which is Breathe, Live, Love. I was trying to look for kind of three words. So that's the title of today's talk. And for me, it encompasses all of life, which is why I like it so much. When I think of these three words, I think of breathing as taking in all of that nourishment and sustenance and abundance that there is for us in the world. So we take that all in, and then it stirs around inside of us, and you know, we do our work. So also we're taking in knowledge, we're taking in experience, and all that stuff is cooking inside of us, making something. You know, we're doing our work, maybe we're going to school, maybe we're in a job that where we're learning something, life is teaching us things. So all of that is stirring around inside of us, and that's the live part. We're living our lives, and things are cooking and processing like you're making a stew, right? It's not ready to eat yet, you're not ready to offer it to anybody, but all those ingredients you've collected and put in there, and they're, you know, cooking. So that's the live element. And then once it's ready and just right, it's cooked long enough, you're able to offer it to the world. So that's the part that has to do with service and with love and compassion. So you take in all of life as you breathe in, you let it stir around within you, which is like that space between the breaths, and then you exhale whatever you have to offer out into the world in loving service. So this was a perfect kind of combination of a topic with Mother's Day, because all of those things that I mentioned, for me, also have to do with the mother. That, you know, sustenance, providing for your young. How many people actually have raised children? So you all know it's a lot of work in raising children. And I had twin girls and moved to another country and where I had not lived before and didn't really have much of a support group, and my husband, and now ex-husband, was not home very much. And so, you know, I'm trying to take care of these two little babies, and it was constant, like, we'd sit at the table, it was like this. You know, trying to give them what they needed, you know, and people said diapering was going to be the problem, but it was actually the feeding. That was the part that was the most taxing, and also just producing milk for two babies was quite exhausting, you know, and feeding them. I felt like a cow sometimes, rather than that, you know, you read all these lovely things about breastfeeding and how intimate and peaceful it is, and I was more like, ah. So, but I was happy to do it, of course. They're my babies. That's what you do for your children. You sacrifice whatever you need to.
My mom loved breastfeeding.
Most people do, and it was good sometimes. At night, I did double duty, and then in the daytime, I could do one at a time. That was better. But had to feed them every, I think it was every 2 hours for the first, you know, couple of months. Two babies every 2 hours. It was a bit much. But anyway, so I wanted to relate this also to certain figures that we have in, you know, mother, divine mother figures. So the first word is this breathe, you know, so I wanted to focus on that word for just a moment. So when we think of breathing, I think of sustenance and nourishment, as I said, which makes me think of the earth, this rain that's falling down, all the food that grows in the earth. And it's very interesting that we say Mother Earth. We don't say Father Earth. We say Mother Nature, Mother Earth. And I think it's because of that sustenance that it provides. And sometimes, you know, we don't stop to think about that. We don't stop to think about the shade of the trees and the oxygen that the trees are giving us and the rain that becomes what we drink, etc. So very, very important. And in most indigenous cultures and in Roman times, the, you know, Roman goddess Gaia, the Greek Terra, Native American spirituality, most indigenous cultures really focused a lot on nature. And I think this is why. That is where sustenance came from. There were sun, you know, worships of the sun. The sun is what gives us life, you know, with light. So that's a very important aspect. And in fact, you know, breath is the one thing we really can't live very long without. We can go for a few days without water. We can go for a few weeks without food. We can go for a few minutes without breath. It's the first thing that happens when we're born, the thing that decides whether or not we actually live, and it's the last thing that goes when we die. So really, really elemental. And in yoga, huge yoga person, there's a whole branch of yoga called pranayama, which is the breathing exercises. And they say prana is actually, it's not the breath itself, it's the life force that's carried in on the breath. So it's the thing that allows us energy to live. And I was reading something very interesting by Yogananda, and he talked about that being the cosmic intelligence of the universe, this breath. So, and Rodney Yee, he's another yoga person, has this really beautiful thing that says, the body is the past, the mind is the future, the breath is the present. And in the Bible, Psalm 46:10, I think it is, says, be still and know that I am God. As we breathe, as we sit in that stillness, we breathe in God. And so another word, of course, for breathing in is inspiration, the taking in of spirit. So really, really essential. And I think of unity's first principle, which says God is good and present everywhere. That is like the breath. We're constantly taking it in, constantly sending it out. It's a way that we exchange with the universe and unite with everybody else at the same time. So I wanted to read this beautiful poem from David White, Where Many Rivers Meet. Enough. These few words are enough. If not these words, this breath. If not this breath, this sitting here. This opening to the life we have refused again and again until now. Until now. So the second word is live. Life happens not so much in those, you know, we're always, you know, going towards the next thing, waiting for the next thing, and hurry to get to the next thing. But actually, life is in those moments in between. And I think one of the Beatles said something really interesting about that. I don't have the quote now, but I remember that as I'm standing here. So it's really about the becoming, and that's the word live. It's about becoming. And in fact, this coach that I'm working with, Christine Kane, she says, you know, okay, let's say you want to create a CD, whatever it is you want to do. I just use that example for my own life. If I just sit here today and say, oh, I want that to happen, it's not going to just happen like that, right? So she says it's not actually about creating the CD, because once that happens, then I'll just want to create another one, or then I'll want to go on tour, or then I'll want to do something else. So it's actually about becoming the person that I need to be in order for that CD to manifest itself. So it's a very different way of looking at things and a very cool way of looking at things, which really puts the focus on how am I living today? What do I need to become, and what am I becoming so that I might step into the relationship that I want, or the work that I want, or the home that I want, or whatever it is that I want to manifest in my life. So this, for me also, you know, I talked about the soup. This is where creation happens. And the woman, of course, is the one that gives birth. We are the ones who have the womb, and that is where life is created. And I never thought of it this way before. I'm sure some scholars have, but I was thinking about, in this case, I was thinking about Mother Mary and how she represents that creation. And I never really gave much credence to the whole virgin story. I didn't think it's important, really. To me, it's not important. But I realized when I was doing this, you know, just sitting down with these notes for the talk, that the fact that the story has her being a virgin focuses on that power to co-create with God and takes out the whole human relationship piece. It's not about her, you know, what was going on with Joseph or whoever else happened to be around. It's about her creating an amazing, you know, divinity within herself with God, which for me, you know, took on a whole new meaning, that whole idea. And I found this really, really amazing passage from a Sufi master named Hamid. He says, your body is the Virgin Mary. The spirit is Christ, the word that was conveyed through Gabriel, the eternal messenger. The breath is the breath of the mercy of God. And it is that breath that quickens the soul. There are many paths to God, but the way of Mary is the sweetest and most gentle. If you can melt into Mary, the matrix, the blueprint of life, the divine mother, you will be formed and shaped in Christ and Christ in you. And thus, through the breath of God's mercy, you will come into being and know God. For it is the breath of mercy that bestows being. Every moment God appears in living form. Isn't that the most beautiful passage? So wonderfully poetic. So going back to Yogananda and talking about this intelligent, God's intelligent cosmic vibration, it's also called the divine creative energy, wisdom, Sophia, which of course is a feminine word. And he was saying that this is in all of us, and it extends to all of creation. And I found this quote by Meister Eckhart, who's one of my favorite mystics. He said, "Every creature is a word of God." And then Matthew Fox, talking about actually that same passage, said, "All of creation contains the living wisdom of God, and all of it is for all of us. There is one flow, one divine word, one creative energy flowing through all things, all time, all space." Our spiritual task is that we get out of the way of the truly energetic creative word of God, long enough that we might be filled with it and go about our task of healing, celebrating, and co-creating. For Dabhar, or the Word, wishes to be incarnate in us. So this for me means God is that becoming, the living. And we are all living that every single day, every breath we take, everything we do. Which reminds me of Unity's fifth principle. Knowledge of principles is not enough. We must live them. So it's not enough to just stay up here in our heads. We need to come down in our heart and then go out into the world. So again, I found some really lovely poetry for today. This one's by Mary Oliver, who is one of my very favorites, and of course is totally, you know, so reverent towards the earth and nature. "One day you finally knew what you had to do and began, though the voices around you kept shouting their bad advice. Though the whole house began to tremble and you felt the old tug at your ankles, 'Mend my life,' each voice cried. But you didn't stop. You knew what you had to do, though the wind pried with its stiff fingers at the very foundations, though their melancholy was terrible. It was already late enough and a wild night and the road full of fallen branches and stones. But little by little, as you left their voices behind, the stars began to burn through the sheets of clouds. And there was a new voice, which you slowly recognized as your own, that kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the only life you could save, which is yours." I think, actually, that this is what Jesus meant when he talked about being reborn. This kind of living, where we are willing to dare to do that which we know we are being called to do, despite whatever other voices are in our head or coming from outside of us. That kind of living, that kind of willingness to be reborn in every moment, to let go of all our fears and our doubts and our anxieties, all our hesitations, and just step boldly into the world to do the living that is ours to do. So that brings me to this last word. So once we've done all of that, breathed all that in, allowed it to stir inside of us, allowed creation to happen within us, allowed ourselves to be reborn, then we can love, then we can let go, exhale our love and compassion and mercy into the world. And that is when grace happens. That's when grace happens for me. That's when grace happens for those I meet when I am in that place. And there are, when I was thinking about these mother, you know, sacred mother figures, two came immediately to mind, which are both Eastern Buddhist bodhisattvas, Tara and Kuan Yin. And they're both bodhisattvas of compassion. And the bodhisattvas, of course, are just embodiments of the potential that each of us has within us. So Tara is shown as the stepping off of a lotus blossom into the world. So she embodies compassion in action. So she's stepping out into the world to help sentient beings. And Guan Yin, that name actually means perceiving the sounds or cries of the world. So she's able to hear all of the suffering and then come to whoever is suffering in whatever moment and relieve them of that suffering with her compassion, with her deep feeling. So from this flows acceptance and trust. Once we've really allowed ourselves to do that, to soften, to release, to surrender to life and to grace, then we trust, and then we can really love. We can love every minute of life, even those minutes when things don't seem to be going okay. Because we know that beneath it all is this amazing creation happening. And just like in the womb, it's not always pretty, birthing, right? It's dark in there. Things are getting squeezed around. Birthing itself is painful. Things tear. It's kind of gory. But it's amazing. And we resist that part of darkness, and we resist that part of having to actually birth something because it's not so pleasant and because we don't know what's going to happen, and it's scary. But it's essential. It's really part of the process. So it's super important when we are in those places to recognize that that is part of the cooking. That's part of what's necessary for us to be reborn. So again, Matthew Fox had this beautiful quote. He says, "What is required is a surrender of man to the glory of existence, a falling in love with what is, with existence itself." And of course, in the Bible, in Matthew, there's this famous question, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replies, "Love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." It's your entire being just filled with love. "This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." And I really like to take this and look at it. We focus a lot on loving your neighbor. That's a very prevalent part of our teaching, loving your neighbor. But it doesn't just say love your neighbor. It says love your neighbor as yourself, which implies you need to love yourself first, really wholly and fully, so that you can then love your neighbor. And that brings me to Unity's second principle. The Spirit of God lives within each individual. When we recognize this love, when we feel that kind of abundant love for ourselves, for the whole universe, for other people, then it's so easy to see God in everybody, because that is God, that love. Here's another poem by Mary Oliver, "Wild Geese." "You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of things." And another really beautiful poem by Derek Walcott. It's called "Love After Love." "The time will come when, with elation, you will greet yourself arriving at your own door, in your own mirror, and each will smile at the other's welcome and say, 'Sit here, eat.' You will love again the stranger who was yourself. Give wine, give bread, give back your heart to itself, to the stranger who has loved you all your life, whom you have ignored for another who knows you by heart. Take down the love letters from the bookshelf, the photographs, the desperate notes. Peel your own image from the mirror. Sit, feast on your life." So breathe, live, love. With these words, we can find grace in every moment, even when we're facing challenges. Today, it's everything. this moment with this rain, with these people here in this room, this breath that is coming into our bodies. So let us live it to its fullest, seeking and offering beauty everywhere we go, remembering those divine, sacred, female figures that offer us all of that sustenance, abundance, creativity, nurturing, compassion, mercy, grace. And when you think of the female figures in your life, even if it's been a really challenging relationship, think of those things and know that that person holds that within her, just as we all do, male and female. So I invite you, as you go out today, to think of those things and to continue to breathe, live, and love. And so it is. Thank you.